Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 353 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host as usual. And today my guest is my good friend, Jordan Ostroff. Jordan is an attorney down in Orlando, Florida. He's also the owner and creator of a legal marketing company called Legal Ease. And Jordan's one of my favorite people. He was on the show previously, on episode 274 back in July of 2021. And I asked him on the show today to specifically talk about a topic that I keep seeing come up over and over again on all the social media channels and all the blogs that I pay attention to. And that is the role and use of artificial intelligence in the legal marketplace, and how something called ChatGPT is taking off and is being touted as a game changer. And I have to admit that I have, for a number of different reasons, kind of stuck my head in the sand with respect to AI in the legal space. So I wanted to get somebody to school me on the subject, and there's nobody better than Jordan. And so hopefully you'll be as enamored with the information as I was. So without any further delay, here is Jordan Ostroff. Jordan Ostroff, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur, or I should say, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. It is wonderful to be here again.
For those of you who are keeping score, Jordan was here previously on episode 274, which aired, if you can believe this, Jordan, way back in July of 2021. I think that was, we were deep in the throes of COVID pandemic, right?
I mean, what's different between now and then? I don't
know. Yeah, well, there's some truth to that, unfortunately. Anyway, Jordan, to refresh our audience's memory, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be where you are today.
Sure. So I always knew I wanted to be a lawyer, having no idea what that actually meant. There are literally like home videos of me at 4 and 5 arguing with my parents. I had to be like the biggest shithead as a child, but somehow they stayed with me, and we still hang out today. So I went to undergrad, did mock trial there, got to be a fake attorney across the country on some fun cases, went to law school, did mock trial there, got to be a fake attorney across the country on some cool cases. Then I became a prosecutor, and at one day decided I had enough of doing actual legal work. Why don't I start a business? Or at least, maybe I wasn't smart enough to know that at the moment. So I launched my firm in October of 2015 and realized I wasn't a lawyer. I was a business owner. I was a marketer. I was a boss. I was a whatever you wanted to call me. And from there, became actually a marketer. Opened Legalese Marketing January 1st of 2020, right before the pandemic. Great time to start a business.
Yep.
And now here we are at the beginning of 2023. I'm happy. I work 2 or 3 days a week. I've got 5 people on the law firm side, about 10 full-time people on the marketing side, and just trying to help more and more lawyers run a firm they can be proud of while living a life that's even better.
Yeah. And so I've known you now for quite some time, and we've bumped into each other at a number of different events. And I can attest to those of our listeners who are unclear about it. Jordan leads a lifestyle of that he describes as that. I think a lot of people know that you recently took a cross-country trip with your family, and you ran your law firm and your Legal Ease marketing business while on the road, you know, being father, husband, and business owner all at the same time.
Very true. And the nights, so we've been 13 months on the road, like you said. The greatest part, I got to meet a lot of my clients in person for the first time between, you know, the virtual connections and whatnot. It's a blast.
Yeah. And, you know, it used to be with a legal marketing company, you had these, you know, quarterly roundups and you'd get together in different cities and you'd get to meet some of people. But as more and more of those types of companies started going virtual, you really did have an opportunity to develop a whole business structure where you, you know, very seldom got to meet your clients. And then we, as you said, we went through the pandemic and all that process, which made it even more difficult. And now I think people are finding joy in reconnecting physically with, you know, their clients when they're spread out around the country. And that's something that was afforded to you on this big, you know, journey.
Absolutely. And it helps us. So like, you know, doing marketing for our clients, getting to know the city that they're in, getting to see their office, getting to, you know, see them in the moment, really every now and then triggers some crazy cool idea that really fits for them that you may lose out on, even if you're just meeting at the quarterly conferences, but offsite, if you will. So
yeah,
it's been a blast.
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, you've heard it a million times running a legal marketing company, where you have a potential client say, and you know, I might want to give LegalEase a try, but you know, my practice is unique, or my geographical area is unique, or my approach to the law is unique, and I'm not sure that whatever you have to offer can fit my very special need. I'm a very special attorney. So you hear that a million times, and at least by traveling around the country and getting to meet some of these folks, you know, you can evaluate the truthfulness of that kind of statement, which at times can be true, but most often isn't, in my humble opinion.
I think every one of our clients says that. And you know, here's the funny part. So like when I first started my firm, I did criminal defense, and everybody would ask the same question, what's it like to represent a guilty person? And I would always say it's a lot easier than representing an innocent person. So from this standpoint, honestly, the ones that are truly, genuinely unique are actually my favorite people to work with because we get to do things differently. Yeah. So not one of my clients by any means, but there's a guy, Josh Worshab, who's in Bloomington, Illinois, that I like dream of one day doing his marketing. Why? Because 80% of the people in his town are employed or married to somebody employed by State Farm, and he does PI. Much different way to announce the battle when everybody's being paid by the other side. So like little things like that just get my juices flowing, get my brain going on how could we actually market for the people that are truly in unique areas, that truly do things differently, that truly have these other things. Because like, I don't want to do the same cookie cutter crap for everybody that
right.
we all see with the aggressive lawyer in front of a whole wall of books rolling up their sleeve. Like, that's not my jam. That's not fun.
Yeah, again, you don't need me to toot your horn, but I will tell everyone who's listening that LegalEase has some of the, you know, some of the freshest approaches to marketing a law firm amongst the bevy of companies that do things like this. This is why, you know, I have so much respect for you and the work that you do, because you do have kind of, and I think fresh is the right word. I was kind of struggling with that. Not necessarily unique, but really well thought out approaches to some of the marketing campaigns that you employ. And that's because I think you stay topical, you stay current.
Thank you. And that's why we're talking about AI right now.
Well, that was going to be my segue into that.
My apologies.
Yeah. So let's get to it. I asked Jordan on the show because we were chatting and he asked me about artificial intelligence in the legal workspace. And I have to admit that I have stuck my head in the sand when it comes to AI and the legal space. And I would think it's maybe because we had that conversation about a month ago that I've been hypersensitive to the fact that all my social media channels have had almost a daily post having to do with the disruptive nature of what's down the road and coming quickly with respect to artificial intelligence in the legal space. So I'm kind of a fresh palate here, Jordan. I have not spent a lot of time even thinking about this. So help me understand, what is the existential crisis that we as attorneys face, or is it just that next hurdle that we all have to get over?
Ooh, that's a great question. I will tell you, yes, it's an existential crisis that you must face if you are competing on price, if you are doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, if you are not truly trying to be an expert in your craft, then yeah, this is going to be a wake-up call and a huge reckoning. Whereas if you are that law firm owner that truly does things differently, that truly is standing out in a certain way, that truly knows their client and is focused on it, AI is going to give you the opportunity to do more easier and cheaper and consistently than you've ever done it before.
Well, I think some attorneys, and I'll count myself amongst that group, struggle with trying to understand, well, what form is AI going to take in the legal space? I mean, there's not going to be a robot attorney litigating cases that I have to face, or there's not going to be the artificial intelligent assistant, you know, the Siri or Alexa that my opponent can call up and draw expertise from. So where is the AI going to fit in?
Sure. So I will tell you, somebody, they built a bot, I want to say it was like 8 years ago, to fight traffic tickets in one state, and the bot did really well. It was filing. It wasn't, you know, like you said, it was not arguing in court and litigating, but it was pulling the statutes, filing stuff, peppering the system. So I think there is going to be the potential for something in those moments. I think that we're going to see it a lot more now at depositions. So like running the transcript through the AI and asking follow-up questions, or for, you know, in discovery, having an AI figure out what other questions should be asked or what things were unclear based upon what's already being presented. So yeah, I mean, if you're a grade A litigator, you are not at, you know, you're not going to be at issue, but for a lot of the technicians, you're going to be more commoditized to the extent that you're not having some sort of, you know, unique ability as a lawyer, arguer, writer, et cetera. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. Writing is where we're seeing AI make a lot more inroads.
Really? I will tell you that my first foray into this is we on the podcast side here are using a company called Decipher out of Australia, D-E-C-Y-P-H-R, Decipher.io, I believe. And they use an AI-based platform that runs the audio of the podcast through to generate a bunch of collateral products for our use after the podcast goes live. So we have lists of quotes and transcripts and all kinds of written material that's generated through the use of that platform. So that's my first foray into this. And I can see if you were, say, a family law attorney or, well, really any kind of solo practitioner or small firm practitioner that relies on developing written products, that's a potential for the use of artificial intelligence.
Completely. Or like I had a case as a prosecutor where the allegation was a guy was in, he was in jail for the entirety of this time, was getting his wife to steal people's credit cards. And so there's like 500 hours of jail calls and like 450 of them are phone sex. But like going through it to try and figure out, you know, what the code words were to set this thing up would have been so nice. You know, at this point, this was 8 years ago. It would have been so nice to run that through a computer and be like, please share with me all the quotes that aren't, you know, related to what they want to do to each other when he gets out of jail at any point. But yeah, no, and that's the thing. AI has been around for a very long time in a number of different ways. I think the reason you're seeing it exploding is ChatGPT being the easiest to use native conversation generating that we've seen out of AI.
Well, that's exactly what I keep saying is this reference to ChatGPT. So what can you tell me about it?
I can tell you that it's totally free currently. I'm sure it'll be monetized at some point. That they had 1 million users on it within like 5 days, which is crazy. And then it's awesome. Like you can have a, let me back up for a second. I'm crazy. I'm nuts. So I started seeing like what sort of conversations you could have with this AI robot. And so like, if you want to sit here and discuss the difference between stoicism versus nihilism versus whatever else from a philosophical standpoint, it will have a whole conversation with you about the differences and it'll track questions to give you other answers. I sent it to a programmer friend of mine. He used it to write code that they couldn't figure out on how to make a program do something. I asked it, what are 365 things that I could do to grow my law firm next year? And it gave me like 50 different answers. You know, it knows a ton and can go deep on a lot of things. And obviously being an AI, an artificial intelligence, it's learning the more it's being used.
Yeah. It seems like writing does sound like an opportunity to use a platform like this. Do you think your role as a prosecutor, if trial prep, could you use it in a trial prep setting by running arguments through it and learning what questions you need to ask or different areas to explore from a logical standpoint?
So that's an interesting question. I mean, the thing that it's bad about is current events, things that are recent. So if you've got anything that would be, you know, new and novel, it's going to have limited knowledge about it. It's not a person. So if we're talking about arguing things to a jury, it may not give you the best perspective. However, if you're one of the prosecutors, or if you're one of the attorneys that writes out your entire closing argument, one, you shouldn't. But if you do, you might be able to put that in here and say, summarize this for me, or what are the key takeaways, or, you know, what's unclear, what am I missing, and see what sort of information it gives you from that perspective. And again, like, you're going to be able to run transcripts. You can do that now. You're going to be able to be easier and easier to run transcripts through it and ask for, you know, what are common things? Like if you've got a big issue where somebody got injured in a job and there's 150 employees that you deposed, you may be able to have an AI realize that 37 employees answered this one question the same way. And that may trigger for you, like, well, you know, what are the odds that they would all use this same wording? Where's, you know, is there an internal memo that references using this language? Is there some way for this to be so consistent among so many people? You know, if you've got a case that lasted 3 or 4 years, you may not remember all these things individually, but the computer is going to be able to match up a lot of the things that are going on. So there's going to be some really interesting rabbit holes it leads you down, or things it uncovers in a way that are maybe too commonsensical for you to catch as a super knowledgeable lawyer.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexaclara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top-line revenue to bottom-line profit. His two game-changing tools are the Scorecard so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions. And the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com. And while we, as you said, this the concept of artificial intelligence in the legal space has been around for a while now, it's really just gaining a lot of traction as of late, largely because of this platform, ChatGPT. Who are, you know, what are the big movers and shakers here? Is it big law kind of pouring some resources into this, or is it a tech leveling adventure on the part of small and solo practitioners trying to leverage this technology to compete? Where are the movers and shakers coalescing?
I definitely think it's the second one. I mean, look, the company that is the most terrified of OpenAI and ChatGPT is Alphabet, is Google, because people are going to get answers this way as opposed to going to Google where they can sell 35 different ads for one question. So I think the smaller companies, smaller firms, solos, this is where it's going to even the playing field somewhat, because, you know, a defense firm that drops a million pages of discovery on you, you can run it through some of this and try and get through a lot of it as opposed to them just, you know, destroying you with extra work. Whereas those larger firms, they want to bill. This is going to make things faster, easier, cheaper to do. They're going to miss out on billable hours from this. So this is a, this is more power to the people, I think.
And so this is largely based on natural language interpretation?
Absolutely. And it's funny. So they've had a number of companies launch a chatbot. The most famous bad example, Microsoft, within 24 hours, a chatbot was spewing racist, xenophobic, homophobic insults at people. Because, you know, I want to say we're people, and I mean that more from the standpoint of, like, we will try and make the robot do stupid things, versus I hope we're not genuinely terrible people. So this one has so far been able to avoid a lot of those things. And it's weird because, like, the AI will tell you its own limitations. And I've actually had a whole conversation with it about how the dangers of AI. And it's really funny to have the program tell you, like, yeah, you know, this is going to limit jobs. This is going to, you know, prevent some of the issues here. This is going to make things less or more accessible. So less skillful and paid for. And I can give you wrong answers, and, like, it'll flat out admit that, which I think is hysterically awesome. That it's that, I guess it's not that aware, but it's, you know, programmed to be that honest.
So this ChatGPT, it's a program, it's a platform, it's a widget. What is it, and how do you access it?
It's a website that becomes like a chat, that becomes like a chat bot.
Okay.
Or a messenger platform. And, like, literally, let me see what's on the, let me see what's on the main page right now. Normally, they've got some stuff up there for you on examples, just to give you a varied.
I haven't even, you know, typed it in to the URL search.
So here, gives you three examples on the main page. Explain quantum computing in simple terms. Got any creative ideas for a 10-year-old's birthday party? And how do I make an HTTP request in JavaScript? So just to give you an example of three things that it tells you to test the system out on. It's, I will tell you, the answers are very vanilla. So from the standpoint of learning something, it's great, assuming it's giving you the correct information. From the standpoint of marketing or having it write something that is memorable, that's going to be less so, but it becomes a really cool starting point for a blog post or a social media post or, you know, whatever it is that you're looking to put together. I've seen it save people a ton of time.
So I guess the next question then, all right, so I type in ChatGPT, I go to this website. Where do you see people jumping off and getting started here? I mean, just simply asking it questions and getting familiar with the response mechanism, or do you see people?
Oh, no. Look, Neil, I would dive right in. And I did a newsletter on this site, whatever it was, 4 weeks ago. And so I did a 10-minute video with it. And I literally like went through how I would use it to run social media. And then I had the AI write this newsletter. And then I went through that process. Dive in. You know, if you are, you know, let's use you as the example. What's a topic that you write a ton about for social media?
Well, let's just say for trust in estates and estate planning attorney, what are some of the common reasons for using a trust?
All right. So I just typed in, as a trusted estate attorney, what are the most common reasons to use a trust? So, and I quote, there are many reasons why a person might choose to use a trust. Some common reasons include one, to avoid probate. When a person dies, their assets must go through the probate process before they can be distributed to the beneficiaries. This can be a long and costly process. By transferring assets into a trust, they can be distributed to the beneficiaries more quickly and easily. Two, to manage assets. A trust can be used to manage assets on behalf of a beneficiary who is unable to do so themselves due to age, disability, or other reasons. Three, to protect assets. A trust can be used to protect assets from creditors or lawsuits. And then it gives, you know, three more reasons of similar varying.
So interesting, because obviously you can get that same kind of information from doing, you know, a Google search or from doing a case law search or, you know, past case or whatever. There's a lot of resources that can pull that information together for you. What sounds interesting to me is the natural language in which it's returned.
And the fact that we did that in 27 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a coherent response.
Yep. I mean, that's the part for me. Like there's a program, I don't remember what there, it used to be Jasper, now it's Jarvis, it used to be Jarvis, now it's Jasper. There's a number of them, but the problem for me is a lot of those spit out this like sort of gobbledygook where you have to run it through the program 5 or 6 times. ChatGPT is the first one that like everything sounds like it's written by a knowledgeable 10th grader. You know, like it's basic and vanilla, but it's right and it's there and it sounds like a, you know, it sounds like somebody actually wrote this out, you know, and if you look at it, it gives me the list of 1 to 6, and it gives me all of them coming in with a colon. So avoid probate, colon, the answer, manage assets, colon, the answer, protect assets, colon, et cetera. You could, you know, put your lawyer spin on this, confirm it's correct, throw this into a carousel for social media, hit each of those 6 things right there. You could go deeper on a blog post for any of these. You could film a video about them. You could go through, you know, all of these answers. You can talk about the ones that it forgot, hey, or didn't include. You know, yes, you've got these 6, but I actually see more clients using it for the 7th reason that wasn't in there.
You know? Yeah, and this is just a very vanilla question. I mean, if you, the more refined your questions start to get, I think the deeper the analysis will go, and you can find some gems there that, as you said, you can exploit for social media and marketing purposes.
Correct.
I'm going to be interested to see the learning curve in terms of the more people, because the basic premise of AI is the more you use it, the more information you give to it, the more it coalesces and forms new understandings, you know, and follow it to the logic extension, becomes smarter. I'm going to be interested to see how that manifests itself in this platform.
And I like, yes, to everything you said, and the way that ChatGPT does it, of long conversations. So in theory, you could open up a different conversation for every single one of your cases. You could input every piece of written information you can into that conversation and then pick its brain on each individual case separate from anything else.
So you could feed it the knowledge that you have and use its abilities to coalesce that information to extract some conclusion.
To some extent. Like, let me give you my favorite use case. So I'm wrapping up a book. And so I wrote whatever it is, 20, 30,000 words, and couldn't finish this book, brought in a ghostwriter. So he's got a number of references that are not in my wheelhouse. And so like, I will go into ChatGPT and say, okay, what is a famous movie quote similar to, and then paste in the one that he had. And so, you know, he had something from like The People versus Larry Flint, and it swapped it to a Willy Wonka quote that was a very similar purpose and topic. There's just like little things like that, that it does in 15 seconds that would take me an hour otherwise.
Or a day, forever to make these connections. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Like, you know, personally, my most recent kind of connection with technology, I said it stuck my head in the sand, but mostly with respect to AI and the law. But I just recently started using an app on my iPad called Simply Piano. And so, you know, an app to learn the piano. One of the things that's really interesting about it is that it continually refines its understanding of your skill level based on listening to what you're playing in response to prompts and your responses to questions that it asks and your requests that you present. But takes all of that and says, well, here's where I think we need to go with your piano training. And that's based on the use of an AI engine. And I can see, you know, if you can do that for playing the piano, I really can see how you can start to do that for writing about legal issues and more.
It's your Spotify playlist is based upon what it thinks similar people to you will like, based upon what you like. The craziest one, so Duolingo, which has a bunch of different languages you can learn, there are more people using Duolingo than enrolled in school in every single foreign language put together. Yeah. And now you have a free app, and they will do questions geared towards you based upon what questions you got wrong from before and what questions you got right and where you're learning and whatnot. I mean, it's insane to me to see what this can do for good. Don't get me wrong, all this can be used for evil too, but from a for good standpoint, you're allowing a lot of these companies to provide a more customized service or a more customized experience to each user at a way that is affordable and at scale, which, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're doing as lawyers, right? Like, we have a specific legal problem, but clients have the service and experience they get.
Well, now I'm going to ask you, we've been kicking this around in terms of AI and the legal space, but you have, as you said before, a foot in two different worlds, significantly so. Where do you see this application from a marketing and business development perspective?
So anybody, so if you are competing on price or if you're hiring a content creation company based upon price, you don't need to anymore. You know, the blog post that you're getting for $50 from somebody in another country or from something that's going out for everybody, you can create a better one with 5 minutes on this and then 10 minutes of your own time, making it true and custom and in your voice and unique. So yeah. I think quantity is less and less important. It's going to be more on quality. You'll get some people that will post a Wikipedia-sized website based upon having AI write all their stuff. Eventually, Google will know what's on AI, and then we'll ding those pages for being, you know, repetitive content or whatnot along those lines. But it's a great place to start for ideation. It's a great place to start for, you know, what's the old expression? If somebody can do it 80% as well, delegate it. Guess what? The computer can do a lot of things 80% as well as you. You can delegate it, and then you can jump in to just tweak it the way it needs to be.
Well, you certainly piqued my interest. Like I said, I had a little bit dipped my toe into this in terms of content creation, but now I think I have to I have to spend a lot more time looking at this and see where we go from here. You kind of opened my eyes.
Yeah, I think every small law firm owner that's doing their own marketing, this should save you a ton of time. I think this was all started from your copywriter. So I'm using that as the example.
Yeah.
I think every copywriter out there, if you're a great copywriter, you should be able to produce 5 times as much stuff now as you could before this, because it can get it to 80%. You can get it to 100% 5 times, just spend the same amount of time on this stuff. You can get more time to actually learn your client's voice. You can get more time to actually learn your firm voice or your firm brand or, you know, whatever that is. And don't get me wrong, we're talking, you know, written here. There's deep fake video stuff coming up. They'll have the same thing. They'll be able to make videos. You'll be able to type in the words and have it spit out a video of you saying this. That'll be next. So like, it's coming for everything, but it's coming in a way where the more that you are unique with an actual opinion, the easier it will be for you to produce content at scale to stand out and influence people. Again, hopefully for the better, but
yeah, I think you're going to see people be concerned about it replacing folks and eliminating jobs and eliminating, you know, careers. But I think you just articulated a perfect response to that. You know, if you're a copywriter, you're going to use this as a tool to leverage and produce a better product than if you were to start from scratch with a blank piece of paper.
Yeah, and the, what is it? It's like arbitrage, right? When you, difference in price, knowledge arbitrage. So if you're a copywriter and you're working 40 hours a week to produce whatever you produce, if you can do 30 hours a week and spend 10 hours a week learning your own craft, you know, same for a lawyer, like this is going to replace the legal Zoom will. But you, Neil, knowing when's the right time for a trust and knowing exactly how to frame it to best match this client, like that's the stuff that's going to constantly stay ahead of the AI. So the more that you have that information arbitrage, the more that you're spending that time honing your craft, what it your craft truly is, the less you're wasting time on, you know, random BS that we let fill up our week, and instead replacing that with automation and delegation and, you know, whatever. It's going to be awesome to see how much more time people have to be better at their actual jobs, to move the ball forward, to provide a better experience.
All right, let's wrap up here, Jordan, and tell our audience a little more about Legalese.
Sure. So for Legalese marketing, we like working with growth-minded law firm owners who want to stand out. And I say that when we first came up with that line, I was like, oh, that's cool, but like, it doesn't weed anybody out. And then I realized, I told it to my wife and she was like, I don't want to stand out. So it weeds people out. You know, it's, and it's been funny to see our lawyers grow and have to hire people, but also to send me the, like, I took my first vacation in 4 years and I took a Wednesday off to take my kid to Universal Studios for the first time ever. And I, you know, it's been really cool to see the life impact that we've been able to have on so many of our clients by automating and systematizing a lot of the lower level stuff. And then by giving them a steady flow of cases so that they can say no to the cases that aren't ideal clients for them or ideal fits for their firm.
Well, I think it's a great line because it does, in fact, describe what you do and how you do it. You know, when you think about it, who your clients are and what you like to do for them, you know, help them grow and help them stand out. And isn't that what we're all trying to do?
Maybe. I know. I like that. That's what I thought. And
well, some
more.
Well, you're right. Some don't want to grow and don't want to stand out. And,
yeah.
You know, God love them. That's where they want to be. But when I say where all of us want to be, I think it's all of us who are growth minded and want to stand out. That's all what we want to do.
It has been so much fun to get to work with my ideal clients to help them find their ideal clients. It's like that very, you know, there's that bogus line, right? Those two can't do teach, which I always hate because I've had some phenomenal teachers who could have done whatever they wanted. So those who want to exponentially grow their impact can teach, or in our case, can market other people so they can grow to have more clients to help more people. It's just been a blast.
Well, Jordan, what's the best way for folks to get up hold of you if they want to follow up with you on
sure
either to talk about ChatGPT or Legalese or, you know, what you're doing in the law space?
So there are only two Jordan Ostroffs in the world. The other guy is a really good salesman out of Boston who gets a ton of job offers. So if you're his boss and you're listening, he's in demand. But failing that, you've got me in the Hawaiian shirt with the beard on whatever social media. I think Facebook and LinkedIn, you'll get your best idea of if I am the right vibe for you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, legaleasemarketing.com, EASE, Legalese. It's a dad joke, and it worked out really well for us. So that's where we are. Happy to chat and help as many other law firm owners as we can. As long as we don't have a conflict, we don't take conflict clients, just like you don't take conflict clients. So that's the one limit.
Perfect. Well, Jordan, thanks for taking the time to be with me today. I do appreciate it. It's good catching up with you. And like I said, I'm going to be down in Florida here shortly, so see if I can swing by and have a chat.
Absolutely. I would be honored. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.